Time to wake up, not sleep, leave your radio tuned right where it is. This is the Christian program you've been waiting for. You get the blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell.
Morning, Bo. I'm Bob Belch, and little Bruce Springsteen to wake us up this morning.
I think you got the idea, folks. The idea is you get the blessing each week. Presents to you special people that we think are inspiring, and we think they'll inspire your life. And in spite of the fact that you might have been born in the USA, sometimes the system just is structured in such a way as people get in trouble. And we're here to talk to a friend today, our special guest, Steve Garcia. But first, we want Craig Redd to introduce Steve and just talk a little bit about where Steve's been, who he is, and then we're going to get to him and do his life story to inspire folks that are listening today that may be in trouble themselves.
Wow, a little bit about my friend, Steve Garcia. He literally is one of my best friends in all the world. He's what you would call a doer. There's talkers and there's doers. And Steve is a doer. Not just a doer of God's word, but he's a doer. When he says he's going to do something, he does it, and he does it to his utmost, relying on God to help him do it.
How'd you guys meet?
We met in prison.
Visiting pastors coming in to speak?
Exactly. We weren't. I spent a decade incarcerated myself, and Steve spent 13 years in it, and some of those years we spent together.
And I spent months. Excuse me, 8.5 months. Seemed like years. 22 years ago, so we share this.
A day seems like a year, so you probably
it's true,
did,
isn't it?
Yeah, you probably did feel like you spent 8.5 years inside. But Steve spent some of those years with me, and I with him, and I got to learn this man inside out. Got to watch him drop 108 pounds. Got to watch him mature as a man of God. And he's an awesome man. And I love the fact that you would get to probe into his life as a man of God and just as a man today.
Now, wait a minute. Were they serving dog food like where I stayed? Or
yes.
Was he working out or a little bit of both?
Both. A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
All right. Well, let's shove the mic on over there to Steve
Here
Garcia.
We go, Steve.
Steve, welcome to our program today.
Hello, how are you?
We're good.
Good. Steve walked in and I saw that Steve Garcia was our guest, and I immediately wanted to know how things were going at his church, but it was the other Steve Garcia. So anyways, good to have you with us today, Steve.
Thank you.
You can't know too many Steve Garcias, I always say, right?
No.
So Steve, how many days have you been out of prison?
About 21, I believe.
So you feel a little fragile, a little scared, a little excited, a little glad to be on this side of it?
All of the above. Fragile, very much so.
Yeah, I remember feeling like I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where I was welcome, what people were saying about me. Just felt, it still, today, 22 years later, feels a little weird because some people don't want to know the whole story. They just want to know that fact. We've been to prison, so we're bad people, and they don't want anything to do with us. When, in fact, everybody listening today is in some prison, some their own fault, some not their fault at all, a prison of ill health or bad relationship or whatever it might be. But we all were in literal prison. So tell us about your background as a kid and when this happened to you and as much as you want to share about what happened.
Okay, well, it started off at a very young age. My mom was really into church, and she invited me on several occasions to go to church. But somehow, some way, the world had me enthroned in its presence. I used to build show cars, and I spent a lot of time focusing on these gods, as I call them, before God. And I remember one Sunday, Mom came out, and she says, Mijo, she says, would you like to come with me to church today? And I said, Mom, I don't have time. I said, I have to polish up this car and get ready to go to a show. And the strangest thing happened is I spent hours working on this car, getting it ready for the show. But I was on the way to Sloan's Lake, and as I was driving, out of nowhere, came a car and broadsided me. So much for the polish. But what was really intriguing is I didn't realize then what was happening, but God was showing me that I had obstacles between myself and him, and he was taking those obstacles out of the way. My life basically started to unravel from that point on.
It did, and what were the steps in the unraveling process?
Well, I started a relationship with a woman that she was my high school sweetheart, and I later married her, and we started our family together, and things were going real well, so I thought. It later happened that my cares of the world were so enthriving to pull me away from the mercy and grace of God that he had on my life, and I tried to do things my way. And that relationship that I had developed with my wife disintegrated to the point where I landed in prison. I landed in prison for first-degree assault, attempted murder, and my world unraveled.
So did you just lose your mind? Were you drunk? What caused you to get to that point?
You know, I think right now, I think I can honestly say that I have to stop putting blame on anything. I try to blame, I'm a diabetic, and I try to put the blame on insulin resistance. I took insulin this particular day, and I didn't eat, and I thought for sure that this would justify me for what I'd done. But I have to search my heart deep inside and say I have to take accountability. Maybe the jealousy within my heart overreigned, I think that I have to be honest and say, hey, I was accountable for what I did. I have to hold accountability for what I did. So I destroyed many lives, my wife, my children, and off I went to prison. While in prison, I was kind of rebellious, and I spent about 697 days in solitary confinement.
For just stirring up trouble?
Well, I was rebellious, and I thought, you know, they brought me to this prison, and I'm not going to let any authority come over and try to control me. So I tried to be in control, and every time they told me to put my ID on my left sleeve, I would slip on my right sleeve and see how far I can get. And what I found out was this rebellious nature about myself led me to the solitary confinement cell where I spent 2 years locked up in this cell, and finding myself during this process of really asking God, who am I? What do you want with me? How can I surrender to your will? And I can only tell you this, that one morning I cried out to him in a humble heart. I didn't have nothing to offer him because I lost my family. I lost everything. I cried out to him, and I said, God, if you're real, can you come into my heart and change me? Real tears came down, and I'll never forget that night when I went to sleep. The next morning, there was a transformation that started to happen in my life, and I was never the same. I was never the same.
So it's something about needing to get the end of ourselves, Bob, whether it's out here in the free world, locked up in solitary, where you just finally say, okay, I've had enough of me. I've tried it my way enough, and that seems to be the first step towards letting God take over.
Well, the biggest obstacle I think we all face in relationship with the Lord is pride, you know. And you know, it takes, I think God sort of knows in each of our lives exactly what needs to happen, you know, to break that down. And sometimes if we are stubborn, which most of us are, you know, it can be pretty severe. But, you know, it's really, as Steve shares his story, the thing that strikes me, even as, you know, horrendous as all of that was, is that God cares enough to break us and, you know, knows what we need. And so, you know, the one of the phrases that that I've heard used to describe that is a severe mercy. You know, that what if it takes something hard, you know, he loves us enough that he's willing to let it happen. So
did you ever think you would get out of that place, even the solitary, or were you just so focused on how good it felt to finally be with God that it was okay?
You know, it's strange that you ask that, because when I was sentenced back in 1999, they gave me a 20-year sentence, and I thought, here I am, this guy in my mid-40s, and here I was thinking, a 20-year sentence, that means that I'll be 70, maybe 80 years old by the time I get out, and I considered it a life sentence. So a lot of that had to do with putting rebellion in my heart, and I thought, well, how can I fight back? And the only way that I knew how is to be disruptive and go into myself and try to find a channel out of that rebellion that I felt in my heart. But I later, like you were talking about the mercy, it's strange because God came into my heart that particular night when I prayed to him, and he put a new hope and a new purpose in my life. And from that point on, I surrendered everything to him, and I said, Lord, I am ready to accept your will for my life. And he came in and did a transformation that is it's just mind-boggling. I mean, I'm not the same person that I was when I went in, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. I'm totally transformed, and it's nothing that I did, but it's because God chose my heart to come in and live. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, through your weakness, I am strong. And I have lots of weaknesses, and God decided to come and live in my heart, and he gives me strength to take one step at a time. And I feel confident to have a brother like my brother Craig Red, that during this transformation for me coming out into this free world has been overwhelming for me. I come out, and everything's changed out there in the world. There's new buildings. I get on the light rail, and everybody's got these little black boxes, and they put them in their ears, and they're listening to things, and I'm like, man, what's going on here? Everybody's got them. I counted 90% of the people on this one light rail that had them, and I looked around, and I thought, what's going on? So now I got one of those now. And
Now you're in the flow.
I'm in the flow, but I still don't know how to use it. So I call my brother Craig and say, Craig, can you help me with this? And he's so gifted in these areas that he says, Steve, can you remember to shut off your phone, because your phone's still on? You just called me and you left your phone on. And so he's helping me in this area. But my brother Craig has been a big inspiration for me through my process in prison and out of prison.
You guys met in prison.
Yes. And there was Craig in prison. This brother here, one time in prison, he was doing some leg lunges around the track. And he said, Steve, come on, you could do this with me. And I said, yeah, right. And he said, come on, come and try them. And I could tell you this, that the first day that I did them with him, I was so sore that I was looking for him the next day because I wanted to choke him. I was sore in places I didn't even want to talk about.
Nor do we now on the air.
But something interesting happened. I made a commitment with Craig because he told me, he said, Steve, don't ever give up on this. And the day that Craig left me from Sterling and he went into the free world, I was left behind. And during that process, 2 years after he left, I made a commitment to Craig that I would do leg lunges. And I did a mile of leg lunges every Saturday. That's nonstop. And one time I did 2 miles. And being diabetic, that's not good because my blood sugar dropped and the COs found me out there. And I was rambling on. And they didn't understand what was going on with me. But I made this commitment to Craig. And I don't care if it was raining, snowing, I would be out there and I would do the leg lunges. And I think I left a memory back in Sterling because I don't think there's any guy in Sterling that could do 2 miles of leg lunges nonstop. So,
and that's when you started losing all the weight?
I've lost about 108 pounds. And my brother Craig gave me the inspiration. It's funny because in Sterling, you go around and you only go in one direction because all the convicts, that's the way they go. And so I went around this track, and every time I would pass by Craig's cell, I would look in there and say, my brother, where are you? Because I'd always see him, me being diabetic, I'd always get the first chance to go to the chow hall early in the morning. And as I passed his cell, I'd always see Craig there with his Bible open, his cup of coffee right there. And he was in tune with God. And what an inspiration and encouragement for my life, because he had such a relationship with God that he took me under his wing and just befriended me. And I just really enjoy coming out knowing that, hey, I'm not doing this alone. Craig's with me. There's been times when I've called Craig and said, Craig, what do I do? I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Craig tells me, brother, where are you at? I'm coming to get you. And he's just been a big inspiration in this whole process, and I'm so thankful to have a friend like Craig.
Tell us about the organization you guys are a part of with Strong Tower Ministry.
Well, it's funny because before Craig left, there was something that he always used to preach about, and he always used to tell us, whatever you do, he started this ministry back in prison, and a lot of the guys were looking for resources. Once they hit the street, a lot of the guys were actually failing. They would go out and go back to their own ways because they didn't have no resources out there. So Craig started a ministry inside the walls where he would develop ministries, a relationship with people that would reach out and help these guys that are getting out. And I remember Craig one time telling several people that were involved in a group, he said, you guys, when you get out, just show up. And I was in prison, and Craig was my best friend, and I lost him because he went to the streets, and I wrote him several letters. Matter of fact, I even got him documented. I got 8 letters to Craig, and I never got a response back. And I thought, I thought to myself, I said, why is he not?
Were you getting these letters, Craig, and just stiffing your friend? Don't answer. Go ahead.
My brother Craig, I didn't realize this. He told me something. He said, Steve, it's busy out here, but what happened to me was that when I got released on the bus stop, they let me off with all my personal possessions and a backpack, and I had all this stuff there, and I thought, well, what do I do now? I'm downtown Denver. I haven't been down here for such a long time, and everything looks so different to me, and where do I go? I don't have a family anymore. I don't have any friends because I've been down for 13 years, and I don't have anything, so what do I do? I remember Craig said, show up, so I reached to somebody. I said, I don't know how to use a cell phone, but do you mind if I ask you, can you dial this number for me? And the lady said, sure. And she dialed it, and I got a hold of Craig and said, Craig, I'm down here at this bus stop, and I don't know what to do. And he says, Steve, don't worry. I've got someone going to go down there and pick you up. He says, just wait right there. And I went into Strong Tower Ministries, and that's where the process of what God was revealing to my heart in the Strong Tower Ministries is phenomenal. I went over there, and they had such a overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit there. They're just, they can't do enough to help a person out. Craig right away gave me some bus passes, and at one particular point, I didn't even have a place to stay. And my brother Craig said, Steve, don't worry about this. God is in control. He gave me a voucher to a motel and provided me with 2 weeks of a place to live. And I can only tell you this, that getting out of prison and not knowing where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and to have a friend that just kind of stand beside you calmly and just tells you, you know what, Steve, don't worry about it, because I'm here with you, my brother. I'm going to walk this path with you. And he provided all my needs. And I am just humbly thankful to him. And now I want to give to the guys that are getting out. I want to be a part of this ministry so much so that when guys get out, they can reach to me and say, Steve, how did you do it? And I could say I had a friend that walked with me, and now I want to be your friend to walk with you.
So I want to talk about Strong Tower and how people can get involved and give you all some money. So let's pass that back over to Craig. What happened to the 8 letters, pal? Now you got a shot.
Yeah, I dissed my friend. Now, really, we get literally dozens and dozens of letters from every facility in the state of Colorado. Some we get to answer, and some we don't. But I knew Steve would follow that lead, and he would just show up, and he did. He followed that. He showed up. He got the help that he needed, and now I know he's going to be one that will turn around, just as he said, and sow into somebody else's life. And that's how this organization runs.
So tell us, how can people get in touch with y'all and give you checks for $1,000, $5,000, $25,000?
They can get in touch with us by coming down to the ministry at 2959 Franklin Street, and that's in Denver at 80205. They can get in touch with me at craig@stmreenty.org. 720 720-352-6200 is my cell number.
720-352-6200. And what was the website again?
The website is STM.
Strong Tower Ministry, STM.
Reentry.org.
Reentry.org. And Bob, when Steve was talking about feeling like he had a life sentence, don't you think there are thousands of people listening today that think they have a life sentence and their prison's just taken, as I said earlier, a different form? But it feels almost the same. I mean, you're not locked down literally, but you almost feel like it.
Yeah, I think you have the feeling you don't even know how to put your arms around it or, you know, get an image of what's wrong in my life. And I think that, you know, Steve's story is almost, you know, it's like a metaphor again. And, you know, if you're feeling like that, the solution is the same. I mean, you know that it's not hopeless, that there's a way to get out of prison, and it has to do with the person. His name is Jesus Christ. And, you know, as we come into relationship with him, he does what he really started. You know, Steve's story, if there's a uniqueness in it, it's probably the radical overnight transformation that you experience. I think for a lot of us, it's a long, slow journey, but God starts working on us right away. And internally, you know, something's happened here. This is real. You know, Christ has, you know, come into my life, and he does want to transform us and change us. So,
and so what's interesting is when you said, Steve, guys that don't get to Strong Tower just go back to their old ways. Well, I'm saying to you listeners, don't go back to your old ways. It's fall. It's a new season. Darken the doors of a church. Find Highline Community Church at 10:15 today. And
Come on up, get re-plugged
in. Don't go back to your old ways.
Yeah,
don't.
Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs a Craig Redd in their life. I mean, you know, you and I, you had Don Reverts, I had Rich Beach. You know, I feel like even a lot of times people make a commitment to Christ and there's nobody at the bus stop. Another great image, you know.
Yeah,
you get off
man.
The bus, there's nobody there. Who are you going to, you know, get some help from? And, you know, all of us need to be looking out for guys like Steve that we can, you know, hook into and help them on the journey. So we need each other.
Steve, we're awfully proud of you and happy for you. And I still share the same timidity that you feel about cars look like weapons to me. After I got out of prison, I was only gone 137 days. But you're right. It's just like, wow, how did all this start moving so fast? But you seem to be doing well.
Well, thank you. And, you know, you said that you were proud of me. And one thing I want to say is, you know what? I can't take any credit in this at all whatsoever. I mean, I appreciate the comment that you made, but it's the grace of God that chose me out of the gutter and decided to come and put wings on me. I feel like a butterfly that's flying above the gutters that I once used to crawl in. And God gets all the grace in that. I mean, there's nothing that I could have done to ever achieve what God has achieved through my life. And I can tell you this, that it is an honor and a blessing to be part of Strong Tower Ministries. There's brothers in there that I've seen in my incarceration. There's one brother that's been down for 32 years, and this brother just got out. And Anthony Montoya, this brother right here, I was locked up with this guy. He was my neighbor. They had me down this wing where there's lifelong offenders program. It's called ALTOP, and they thought, I guess, I was a life-term offender program. And so basically they had me down this wing, and Anthony Montoya was my neighbor. Here's a man that's been down for 32 years. He came to be a part of Strong Tower Ministries. Craig got him his first job. My brother just gave a testimony that he is now living and renting a house that him and his dad pitched in together to live in. And what a transformation in that man's life. 32 years to be able to come out and Craig walk with this man also. I mean, Craig must have lots of best friends, I'm telling you, because he helps everybody.
Craig, we're proud of you, too, and we're thankful for a Strong Tower Ministry. So 720-352-6200. Please pick up the phone, get to know Craig and a Strong Tower Ministry, and you're going to meet guys like Steve Garcia, our guest today, And I think that's another great image, a butterfly that's flying above the gutters that he used to crawl in. That's what Steve feels like now. You can feel that way too, folks, through the power of Christ.
Amen.
So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being our guest today, Steve. And Craig, keep up the good work. What does this say, by the way? Refuge Thursday 6 through 8.
Yeah, if anybody would like to meet about 60 or 70 of these men and women who have been incarcerated, they can come down to our office at that 2959 Franklin Street on a Thursday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and eat a dinner with us and worship with these men and women. It is a phenomenal time.
If we eat this dinner, will this be the first step towards losing 108 pounds?
It just might be. It just might be. It's a phenomenal time if anybody would like to come down and meet about, like I said, 60 or 70 of these men and women. We get together every single Thursday night.
To God be the glory, Steve. And yet we have a role to play in this. You accepted. You responded. You stayed disciplined, focused. You tied in with your friend Craig. So hooray for you too, pal. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you so very, very much for having me on.
You bet. We'll see you folks again next week here on You Get the Blessing.